red line.
Joko Widodo, Indonesia's new president, took over as the head of the largest Muslim state in the world. This week, that was really people's carnival when tens of thousands of people rushed to the streets of Jakarta who were celebrating his meteoric rise to power. They were chanting victory. They were chanting the name of their new leader. And really, this victory came as a complete surprise because no one could have expected that the son of a carpenter, then just a regular furniture seller, would be able to emerge as the leader of Indonesia with its corona politics, where we've seen only just new leaders coming from two ruling clans. So Joko Widodo is our man in the news today. Already he made quite a number of important statements, and which were also referring not only to domestic agenda, how he's going to transform Indonesia, how he's going to defend its political sovereignty and economic independence. For example, he made a very interesting observation over Indonesia's role as a maritime power. Let me just quote what he said in his inauguration speech. "We have for too long turned our backs on the ocean, the straits and the bays. This is the time for us to restore it." So let us discuss it in more detail with our studio guest, Viktor Mizin, Deputy Director of Russia's Institute of Strategic Assessment. Mr. Mizin, we are trying to unwrap the enigma of Joko Widodo. So what's your take on that? Can we say that what we see in Asia is new generation of leaders coming? Look, in India, Narendra Modi also complete surprise.
I think it's not the trend just in Asia, but in the entire what is called so-called third world. And what we see here, it's again like with the imposition of sanctions and the return of a Cold War between Russia and European Union. Here, we're once again, it's blast from the past, and we're like thrown back in the 60s when on the wave of decolonization, the new leaders like Fidel Castro and Kwame Nkrumah, Lumumba were coming to the head of states in developing countries. And here we see the tendency, like you mentioned, in India, in Latin America, in many countries, like from Venezuela to Brazil, we see the new quality, the new type of leaders, which one may call populist, but I think that those leaders, their incarnation, they're the expression of the largely shared dissatisfaction in the many developing countries, in the many emerging economies with the results of globalization, with the what they call the dictatorship of United States and other industrial nations. And probably we see here the opening of the new quality of international relations, and I think it's very interesting. And what is very important for us, that Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in Asia, and it's a very friendly state for Russia. So what we'll see in the future, it would be something like a tug of war, a fight for the hearts and minds of Indonesians, at least between the West and between those forces who are against forced globalization and who are for the more democratic international relations.
Well, I'm quite fascinated with your historic parallels. You were referring to that fight for decolonization, but we have to look into the realities of the 21st century and what would happen to that drive to be independent. So let us discuss it with more detail with our next guest, Ekaterina Koldunova, Associate Professor and Senior Expert with ASEAN Center, GIMO University. Ekaterina, we are trying to understand where Indonesia is heading under the leadership of Joko Widodo. Specifically, Viktor Mizin just mentioned decolonization, and as I put it, referring to the 21st century, this is an attempt just to build alternative and new economic order, specifically to upgrade such institutions like G20. To what extent you think Indonesia first would be able to follow independent policy? And second thing, just to emerge as one of the probably major players in G20, which is trying to change the current existing economic world order, which is based on the dominance of the Western institutions.
Well, I'll start with one brief observation. You have mentioned some struggle or strive for building an alternative system in the world. I'm not pretty much sure that Indonesia will be among those players who will be pushing forward any alternative vision, as well as, by the way, other major rising powers in G20. I think what will be going on really is that these countries, Indonesia included, but also India, Russia, well, probably China, They would like to see, as your previous speaker has mentioned, a more just international system, including a more just relations within the world financial institutions. As for Indonesia itself, I think that Indonesia under the new president, Jokowi, will be trying to keep a more or less independent stance in the international affairs. And G20 and regional institutions like ASEAN, ASEAN Plus, etc., will be one of the instruments through which Indonesia can implement this goal, at least partly, but not alone, of course. It will need good relations, good network of relations with other G20 rising powers, emerging powers. But still, I think that Indonesia, summing up, that Indonesia will be trying to be quite accurate, but still will be trying to keep a more or less independent stance there.
So let us come to the next question, which is quite sensitive to all of us, as we've seen that the West is putting more pressure on not only on Russia with its sanctions policy, but also on its Eastern partners, just trying to bring them to that, so to say, anti-Russian coalition. Ekaterina, you mentioned the role of the new president who would try to uphold the independent foreign policy. To what extent you think Indonesia would be able to withstand that pressure if it is put on the from the United States, and would be able just not to scale down its relations with Russia?
Well, let's not forget one thing, that Indonesia is a power in itself, but Indonesia has good support in the region because Indonesia is a part of ASEAN family. And as you have asked about the U.S., we know that under Barack Obama, the U.S. has been trying to engage Indonesia as far as possible to upgrade the level of relations with Indonesia, because Indonesia was among the first countries where actually Mr. Obama has paid a visit in the initial years of his presidency. But still, I think that Indonesia, both Indonesia and ASEAN as a regional organization, were quite handy at managing this external pressure for decades. Of course, the current moment is a hard one, really. But, it depends both on Russia and Indonesia, how they will be able somehow to overcome these difficulties. My feeling is that Indonesia will not be moving towards over-dependence on only one major player, even if it's the leading state in the current international system. I think that Indonesia will be using all existing regional mechanisms and its own tradition of being a player in the region to keep a more balanced position.
Red line.
Well, very interesting observation, but let us again look into it in more detail. And now let me introduce you our next very special guest, Jauhari Aratmangun, Indonesia's ambassador to Moscow. Mr. Aratmangun, thank you very much for coming on the program. We are really, really privileged to have you here. So I know that you just came back from Indonesia, and you are the only one out of us here who personally met Mr. Joko Widodo. What kind of leader he is, and what can we expect from him?
I think a quite popular leader in Indonesia. For your information, the first guest is the Rush. He was accompanied President Joko Widodo, to meet the Minister of Trade from Russia as a special envoy from President Putin. He's very popular, and he's determined to bring Indonesia further, move forward in the next many years to come.
Well, Ekaterina Koldunova was sharing with us her observations of Indonesia, which would try to balance her policy between the United States and Russia. From your point of view, if, say, United States put pressure on Indonesia, asking her not to cooperate with Russia, do you think that Indonesia would be able just not to follow that advice and not to sacrifice, with all the importance of the United States, not to sacrifice the relations with Moscow?
I think I should revise your question. I don't think United States will put pressure on us.
Because, that's good news.
No one could put pressure on us. Russia is a very, as well as United States. And we are, of course, the new president will continue to practice the active and free and active policy of the Indonesian foreign policy. And I think within that context that in the East Asia, we have the East Asia Summit, in which instigated by Indonesia to invite as well the leaders of Russia and United States. So we have a very good relationship with Russia.
As Indonesia's ambassador to Moscow, what potential do you see for our bilateral relations? What lies in store for what is the potential of our bilateral relations, our trade and economic ties?
We have a very great potential. If we are looking at the relationship between two countries, usually I put in the three pillars, political and security, we have a very good relationship. The other one is the socio-culture. A lot of Indonesian students are coming here. A lot of Russians are coming to Indonesia. But priority now is the economic and trade cooperation. So far, our trade volume, it's already reached $3.4 billion, and we are working for the $5 billion target by 2015. Well, so that's the priority, and the potential is there. More and more Russia are coming to Indonesia, and more Indonesian businessmen are coming to Russia as well.
Well, another hot potato issue, obviously, is the fight with Islamic State militants. And this week we've seen U.S. State Secretary in Jakarta having talks with President Widodo, pledging for Asian support in fight against Islamic States. But while all of us understand that this is a common enemy, we disagree on the way how it should be handled. So we here raise a lot of questions over that alleged U.S.-led coalition in fighting against Islamic State militants. So what role can be played by Indonesia? And do you think that we have somehow to look for really comprehensive mechanism to fight that evil, which would involve all countries?
I think we are the modern Muslim. Indonesia consists of almost 90% Muslims, the biggest in the world, but we are not a Muslim country. So certainly we'll play a catalytic role and in the issue of radicalization of that kind of activity. So we are for that.
Red Line.
Mr. Mizin, you have to say something on that, I see.
No, I think it's very fortunate development, and for many decades, Russia, Soviet Union, and Indonesia have been the good friends, and I would tend to agree with His Excellence that we're a very bright future ahead for us.
General question. Russia already spelled out its Asia-Pacific doctrine, saying that while coming closer to the giants of the non-Western world and developing cooperation with them would be a sort of a priority for Russia. Do you think that Indonesia can really serve as a textbook example of that cooperation under its new leader?
Well, I think yes. And, you know, the Asian-Pacific region has been proclaimed by all experts and politicians like the future area for the 21st world. And it's also a major vector of the Russian foreign policy for the coming years. But unfortunately, although we are welcomed by many states of the region, like Asian and Indonesia included, unfortunately, they are like lamenting that the presence of Russia is not quite evident there. We should do more in developing our economic ties, in developing our bilateral relations and relations with the multilateral organizations there, because I would agree that the coming age is the age of Asian Pacific area, and Russian diplomacy, Russian economic entities should be more active to this respect.
Yeah, I think that you're making a point over that Asia-Pacific region. We'll obviously get back to it in our next programs, because this is really a topic which we can discuss hours and hours. But I am afraid this is all time what we have for today. And let me thank all of our guests. Viktor Mizin, Deputy Director of Russia's Institute of Strategic Assessment, our studio guest. Ekaterina Koldunova, Associate Professor, CEDEX Expert with ASEAN Center, MGIMO University in Moscow. And, of course, our very special guest, Joe Hari Aratmangun, Indonesia's Ambassador to Moscow. And with this, we end this edition of Red Line, brought to you by Radio VR. It was presented by me, Sergei Strokhin. Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.